Give them a round of applause, saints. Amen. 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 We just have a few announcements here. Just a reminder of the fellowship on Sunday. Just after church, when you want to get there, I think the deacons are going to get with you on the sides and those things. So, also, just a reminder of the young people's meeting. Amen. I think it'll be at 7 o'clock at Pastor Cam's house. And, I think 12 and up is the age limit there. So, papers in the back if you want to look at it. Amen. We have one prayer request here. Please keep Brother Bill Sanders in prayer. I know he had went back in the hospital today at some time. I don't know exactly what condition, but keep him in prayer, amen. I mean, how many have need of prayer tonight, amen? Just going to ask Brother Philip if he'd come lead us in word of prayer, amen. Good to have him here tonight, amen, on a Wednesday night. Amen.
Father God, we gather here today, brothers and sisters, your word today, to just come and be filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled with your word and just have you come all rain down on us and just be fill us with your joy and your wonderful praise, Lord Jesus.
Father.
We pray for Brother Bill as he's in the hospital. We just pray that you take him and just put a healing hand on him. Just touch him and allow him to return home. And we pray for Pastor Cam as he gets ready to come and spread your message that you have for us today,
amen.
Lord Jesus. Just let it flow right through him and just let your words be so powerful through Pastor Cam tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray for the tithes and the offerings, Lord Jesus, that just let them be bountiful. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing that song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, amen. How many are seeing every day more and more that every promise in that book God has given to us, we can put faith in those promises, amen. And every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise. And every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. One more time. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book. One more time. Oh, now every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. 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 You know, let's just sing that song, Ain't It Grand to Be a Christian? How many are glad to be a Christian tonight? Amen. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor as we sing that song, Ain't It Grand to Be a Christian?
Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand? Be a Christian, ain't it grand? Grand to love each other, ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to love each other, ain't it grand? Oh, walk with Jesus, ain't it grand? Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? One more time, to walk with Jesus. Well, ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? On a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to walk with Jesus? Ain't it grand? Amen. Sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day with Love. Amen. Amen. Fill my way every day with love, your love, as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love. Hallelujah. Fill my way, oh, with love, your love, as I walk this life is all I
Just sing that song, How Great Is Our God, amen. When I consider the works of my God, amen. Start with the chorus. As our brother Cam prepares himself to come, amen. And how great is our God, how great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, put your trust. Sing that again. How great, and how great is our God, how great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. When I consider the works of my God, the moon and the stars, the path that he trod, the sheep and the oxen, the beast of the field, all of these wonders let me know that he's real. And how great is our God, yes Lord, how great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. He used our prophet in many a way to show forth his greatness in this our day. He never changes, he's always the same. So worship and praise him, his dear name. Sing now with all your heart. How great is our God, how great is his word. He's the greatest one, yes Lord, that ever was heard. He rolled back the water, yes Lord, and he said I will lead you, put your trust in me. Oh, when I consider the works of my God, the moon and the stars, the path that he trod, the sheep and the oxen, the beast of the field, all of these wonders let me know that he's real. Oh, how great is our God, how great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust. One more time. How great is our God? How great is our God? Roll back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I won't leave you, put your trust in me. One more time. How great is our God, how great is his word, he's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Amen. 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 You love God this evening? Amen. Good to see all those able to make it out. We're going to open up our Bibles up, jump right into the Word this evening. Amen. Good to be a Christian this evening. Amen. Still on the beating of the path. We're still on the working with the promise of God. Amen. Still believing that God is certainly has great things in store for our lives and things that we certainly could never even imagine that we'd be worthy of. Amen. And that's what we're looking for by the grace of God. Just have a very simple message tonight. And I pray to be a blessing to you. To me, it's very powerful, but I pray that God will certainly bring this the way he wants it to be. Amen. If you had your Bibles, we'd like to open up to, let's go first to Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. After that, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 4, and after that we'll go to Romans 10, verse 4. So now in Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. Interesting how he says this. Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. So notice he's pretty much calling them right there to the place that, hey, this is going to happen. All right? So notice here in the second verse it says, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Amen. Now let's jump down. Let's head down to the 14th verse there very quickly. It says, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Amen. Now let's go to Romans, the book of Romans 10. Romans 10:4. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I think we'll just call that good and we'll just finish the rest of it
as we begin to preach. Notice that scripture again. This will become very important to where we're going this evening. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here, Lord, and Lord, just to enter into the praise, O God, the love, O God, the bond that we share with you, God. We thank you for all that you've given us, God. And we just ask this evening, Lord, that you'd certainly, Lord, come, O God, draw nigh to this children, O God, to this people, O God, that are here in this assembly, O God, those, O God, who may be listening in, O God, Lord, those who will come, Lord, at later place and perhaps listen to this sermon by internet, God. We pray, God, you just work your spirit upon everyone that this message would come to, God. We just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, anoint it, Lord. Speak, O God, your mind to your children, Lord. O God, we realize that what is this life without the will of God? It is absolutely nothing, God. We desire thy will, O God, to be put on display, O God, in this place, O God, in this building, Lord. And we pray, O God, you'd allow this, O God, to be a furthering in our relationship to you, God. We just ask, God, you'd just take my mouth, God, and use that mouth, God. Forgive me of any wrong that I've done, Lord. And God, I pray, O God, you'd certainly, Lord, stir up your church today, O God. O God, get us into the focus, O God, of where you have us going, God. The direction you've called us, God. And, O God, the desires that you've had on your heart for a people, God, who will serve thee in the word of this hour, Lord. We just give our hearts wholly to you and ask you to just take control now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. In entitling this evening's sermon, we'd like to entitle it, The End of the Law. And maybe for more understanding, Christ is the end of the law. Amen. So by the grace of God, we just want to move into this topic as we realize that when all things come down to it, we have to know what God is to us, right? We have to know where God is to us and what God can do for us if we have God with us, right? So this will be a very simple sermon, but I pray that you'll be able to catch what the Spirit is trying to say, as I feel like the Lord has really pressed this to be preached at this point in time. So by the grace of God, we just want to move into this topic here because we understand that this scripture almost brings what in mind would be a contradiction in Romans 10:4. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now that's awesome. Because remember, the scripture says also that when Christ come, it says he did not come to do away with the law, but rather to fulfill that law, right? So we understand that how amazing this is Christ come to fulfill the law. And here we see Paul moving down later, and he says that Christ is the end of the law, right? So very simply, as we begin to picture this in our mind, it was not that Christ would do away with the law, but he would become the fulfillment of that law, not just in dying for the sins of the people, but he would also, what? He would live that righteous life and allow that life to come back to you as a believer, right? So then you could look at your own life and see Christ instead of seeing yourself, right? Amen. So we want to dig into this evening, and that is the gist of what you're going to get tonight. And I want you to just keep this in your mind, very simply, what God has desired for you. Every redemptive promise that has been given to you literally relies on your faith in your salvation. Are you saved? Are you bride? Are you God's child? Because if you are, then these things should be upon you, okay? So we want to really just look at salvation a little bit, because realizing salvation is that you are saved. God, he has what? He has done the work of redemption for you. Now there's no more death on the cross that needs to happen. It is already finished. When he died on the cross, he cried out. He cried out, "It is finished," right? All power in heaven and earth was given to him. And what? He come now to redeem himself a bride. And we're just catching this revelation now, okay? Isn't that amazing? 2013, we're still here. Christ could fill them with the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 years later, we would still be waiting for the perfect fulfillment of that word. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. But I believe that it is being fulfilled right now. Right? That potential energy, remember, there's those types of energy. You have a potential and a kinetic, right? And by the grace of God, a potential, it's like you set a ball up on a hill and you just leave that ball there. That ball has energy in potential. It's ready to roll down that hill. But until it gets that initial push, it cannot operate in a form of energy, right? So it needs something in turn then to give it a little nudge, and then it'll start rolling down that mountain or that hill, and it has a force with it. It has a power. And this bride, a word has been sown in you, and it is sitting there potentially. What? Because you have a seed of God, you're eating that word, you're getting faith on that word, but that word must leave a potential faith and become a kinetic faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But the good thing about all these laws of gravity and motion and energy and all these things, it always takes a little nudge.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So by the grace of God, we say, God, give me a nudge.
Amen.
God, I need just a little push. Don't push me all the way through the pipe, but just give me a little touch.
Amen.
Right? Well, when you know who you are, then it can work for you. How could the prophet of God have so much faith that every time, what, he wouldn't command God or do anything, even knowing the gift he had? He'd even say, if God will come tonight, 20, 30 years down the road. But just because God allowed, what, something to start in his life.
Amen.
Told him he had a gift.
Yeah.
Now telling him he had a gift, it didn't do anything for him until he seen the gift operate.
Amen.
Right? Now, then he could grow an experience in that gift as we realize that even so much as God gave him the gift when he'd lay his hand on someone and he'd be able to take that hand and his hand would start to start getting all palsy and get little sensations all over it. He would be able to tell what that disease was every time. Why? The first time he didn't have a clue what it was. But just from watching what the condition his hand would take, it would show exactly what was going on with that disease, right?
Amen.
So you know what did it for him? A little experience. A little God moving on the scene. So by the grace of God, that is what we need. We need God just come on the scene.
Amen.
And that's what God will do. But just like he had a time with the prophet, he'll have a time with you. He'll have a work with you. But it will be fully and solely based on the fact that his timing is perfect. I don't want it before God wants it here. Well, don't get me wrong. I want it here, but I know if I'm not ready for it, I don't want it. If I don't have the character built up within me that can handle the power of God, then why do I want the power of God? I'm not here to look, Because remember, if I don't have that character, I could get haughty with that power. I could get pride from a gift. We as a church could get prideful with what God has done here. Or what He will do here. But this is not what we're moving into, a cycle where you'll revive and then die again. In this cycle, you revive and then you go to glory. So you have to be in condition. You have to know you're saved. You have to know that God's on your side and that He is here to give you that which you want. Amen. Now, I want to jump into this just a little bit here, as I might just be going another direction if I'm not careful, because none of this stuff's been on my notes here. But by the grace of God, we want to say what God wants us to say, right? But I want us to understand that in looking at something God's trying to do, He is trying to get you to express what you are.
Amen.
I can't express what Brother Steve expresses. I can't express what Sister Ashley expresses. I can only express what is unique to the seed that's in me.
Amen.
Just like all of you are there. So you see, now this puzzle, it has to be put together. It has to join. It has to fit. Everything has to be right where it needs to be, right? And that's how we have to have it, okay? Now, notice what we're looking at here. This evening, we're looking at the end of the law, or the word is nigh unto thee, okay? Now, I want us to not move far away from the end of the law, because when you understand what the end of the law is, then this will make sense to you, okay? But now, I want us to move in our Bibles very quickly here to Deuteronomy 4. This has been kind of interesting to me, just some of the thoughts that I've had, because I want you to understand when Exodus 19 rolled around and they were given the law and so forth, they what? They chose law. They wanted law, just like they wanted a king later. They wanted something to do or someone to lead them. They did not want God. Now, what is the fulfillment of this word? What is the fulfillment of your purpose on earth? Is it supernatural? What is it? Is it theology? Or what is your place?
Amen.
The very reason why you are here is that what? Is that you and God would be in a perfect relationship, that you would love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, their soul and body. God wants your strength. He wants everything you are. Now, I want to really dig this into you a little bit, because this is what's kind of coming to me. But if you understand where we're sitting at here, God has moved this dispensation away from what you can do. In the sanctification age, it was what can you do? In the age of Pentecost, it was what can you do? Why do you think they what? They made the evidence speaking in tongues. It was still a law. But it was never meant to be a law. It was always meant to be grace and love. Hallelujah. So now notice here in Deuteronomy 4:1. He says here, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command." Now notice this. Now God is coming to them and He's saying, okay, you do everything I tell you to do. You want to be blessed? Do what I tell you to do. I'm going somewhere with this. So I want to maybe just touch that very quickly And I want us to see, remember how we opened up in Deuteronomy 30 very quickly. In the first verse it says, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Notice this. "And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul." He wanted all your heart and all your soul, but he gave them a commandment. Your proof for loving God was your ability to fulfill commandments. You've got to catch this. If you love God in a dispensation of law, that means that you literally show God how much you love him by what you do. Now, this is going to become pretty critical, because remember in John 14, it says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Well, we see the same thing in the Old Testament. But notice what's going on here. They failed. Remember, they were to show God they loved him. But the only way God could look when they established they wanted something to do was that they had to do it perfect. Can you believe that? Your commandment was, you have to love me. Doesn't sound like much of a relationship. Right? Let's think about this. Let's really, really nitty-gritty think about this. You know, even within our families, you find out that many times you have no way to perfectly love everyone in that family all the time. It doesn't matter if you're a Santa Claus, so to say, to people. If you give, 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 give. Now, how am I going to be a witness and would say that although I've done my best to love them, to give them, and I keep giving them, they still don't love me like they should. So notice that within the human race, there is no possibility that you can love someone perfectly. Well, let's talk about this, Holy Ghost believers. How many of you love everyone perfectly? Even with the Holy Ghost, you still cannot depend on your own love. If your own love for someone becomes the law, then you have failed that law. Which means you failed that relationship. Brother, what in the world are you trying to tell me? Don't you see? God could bring them out of Israel and give them great things and show them how much he loved them. But it did not matter, because they were caught in flesh. They could not love him right. Amen. And because they chose a law, what, God could not bring grace on them. So they were judged by that law. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Now notice this. This becomes very amazing, because we don't have the ability to do this. No ability whatsoever outside of the end of the law. You know what I'm saying? Because you know just as well as I do, no matter how nice you treat everyone, they're not always going to be nice to you. And it comes really, really perspective that you won't always be absolutely perfect to them. And just think, because they fell under this condemnation, because that's what it was, that's why God could speak through the mouth of Moses and say, no doubt, that when you are driven off and taken into other lands, look at this. Look at yourself and see that you have not loved me perfect. You haven't been good to me. What you think about that? How easy has it been with the Holy Ghost to love God with everything you have? It'll be a hard one if we start trying to judge this one, won't it? Boy, everything's starting to stack up pretty fast now. Unless it's under the blood. You see what I'm saying? When I said that to you, you just start saying, whoop, whoop. You're starting to build a stairway. But you know what? But when the law has been finished, the end of the law has been fulfilled with Christ, then you fulfilling that is not based on what you're doing, but what you're depending on. But we're talking about love. We're really talking about love. Amen. Do you really love God? Yep, we're coming right back to last Wednesday again. Who would have thought? But anyway, in finishing up Deuteronomy 4, he says, in the third verse he says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that fouled Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Now, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Wait a minute. This is your wisdom in doing a commandment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now this is where I'm keying. For what nation is there, and I've read this months ago, is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. So God comes around and He says, okay, here I am. I am nigh to thee. What does nigh mean? Nigh means near, not distant or remote in place or time. So God is right there. I wish God would draw a little nigh to you tonight. Because if you had a revelation that God was not, then He could. What? Read what the Scripture says. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? So there's a revelation that sits here that if you have a revelation God is not, all things you can call on Him and He'll draw unto that cry and give you what you need. Okay, now I'm going to put you in the trouble boat. How many of you here have a need? Just don't even lie. Just raise your hands. Okay, so tell me, why isn't God nigh to your needs? Now, you say, well, I've done this. Been pretty backslid. I've done this. Well, wait a minute. I'm reading this out of the Old Testament. Wait a minute. Deuteronomy 30, it said what? It said that when you would fall away, when you'd see blessing and cursing, you could look back and say, okay, God, this is why you're not blessing. Because you haven't followed the statutes, obeyed commandments. That was the proof that you weren't obeying the commandments was shown because God wouldn't bless you. You think I'm crazy? I start wondering myself. I keep on watching all these. I'm starting to hate AccuWeather, WeatherBug, Weather Channel. I just hate them things. Because I sit here and I watch all these nice rain clouds, all these storms coming in to feed our plants. Keep the grass green. Let the mosquitoes reproduce, you know? I keep on watching all these clouds come in. And every time they get to this area, they go like this. And they go right around us. I ain't done nothing but watch that. And if you pay attention to the weather map, you know it's the same thing. And all of a sudden I start, and on the way home, I sat there and looked at it and I said, ah! Means I got to water my plants again. Because I literally watched the red turn to yellow, turn to green, turn to blue, and then it turned to nothing. Except for a big bunch of wind. And it happens the last 6 or 8 times I've watched them. And immediately in my mind, I keep thinking, I say, God, you're withholding the rain. I say, God, why are you withholding the rain? We must be backsliding. I'm like going right back to the Old Testament. I'm judging the weather or the natural by the natural.
Back in the day when they could dance up a ring, the Indians could dance up a rainstorm. I got a God who ain't the sun. The S-U-N, he's the S-O-N. Amen.
Sometimes all he wants to see you do to get a little rain, a little spiritual rain in your life, he always, maybe all he wants you to do is a little dance. But we don't want to give God no dance. We don't want to try to, you know, we don't want to work something up. Say, just listen to God. Amen. But you see, we start judging everything by a law instead of seeing grace for what grace is. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Now, like I said, I'm working you here. Because it was a commandment that you love God or you suffer. Show me where that goes in the New Testament. Now we know, if you're backslid, bad things can happen to you. Sure they can. But you know what? If you ain't backslid, bad things can happen to you. So just because bad things are happening to you or things that are not satisfactory to your liking, that does not mean that you're good or bad. But if it makes you think there's something wrong and you find something wrong, then you need to get that right. Not that it's a law, but it keeps the relationship or the love bound between a man and a woman. Or a God and a wife. See what I'm saying? I married my wife. I treat her like dirt. If I don't make that right, you know what? She's going to have a little attitude about that. And I'm going to have a little attitude. You know what? If it happens tomorrow, you know what? It's just going to get worse. And it'll get worse and worse. And next thing you know, I'll just kick her. I've never done that. But you know what? Next year, you know, I'll kick her. And she'll say, yeah, I don't really think, I don't know how much longer I want to be with this goof. Right? And then before you know it, she might snap at me or throw something at me. And then you know what? It just gets worse and worse. Then the money's bad. Then all of it, what? It consummates at the place that we get a divorce. Just, and it all started out because I didn't want to get it right when I was mean to her. It's the same thing with God. But we're too in this condition where we can do no wrong. But that all that is it shows what? Shows either what? You have a legalism? Or you just do not have a revelation of what real love is. You ever think about that? How can I be a perfect father unless God is my perfect father? How can I be a perfect husband or a perfect wife without having God as my perfect husband and my perfect wife? He's El Shaddai. He's the breast of God. I don't care. I'm going to get a little emotional. I'm feeling good about this because I see what God's trying to show me. Having God first place is not a law. It does not depend upon a law. Having God in first place has everything to do with me and God being in speaking conditions. A relationship. Something moving. Because if you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. Oh, I want God. You know what you're saying? Saying, I want to talk to this God. I want to love this God. I want Him to talk back to me. And I want to show Him in every way that I love Him. And notice, this is a God who already promised He was nigh to you. He's near to you. He's close. He's right there. Oh, hallelujah. He's right here. Well, what do you want? Yeah. What do you need? I've seen all those hands. Oh, I don't know if God will give it to me. Well, wait a minute. Why won't God give it to you? If He was nigh to a nation that was in legalism, caught perfectly in legalism, and treated God like dirt all the time, then what about you? When God's not even trying to look at you. God would never even see your sin if you just love Him. It's coming down to how much do you love me? So, well, I got to get 3 hours in a prayer closet. No, no, no. You start by what? You start by confessing to God. Amen. Say, I need a friend. I need a real friend. I need a God. I need a God that can talk to me. I need a God that can answer me. I need a God that cares about me. And His word said He does. So all I got to do is be a friend to this God. Now, let's move a little bit further with this. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. Now, when you get a chance, you can read this whole chapter. It's very powerful. It's a chapter in which Moses pretty much instructs them about blessing and cursing and what will be upon their lives based on what they do. Okay? And basically how, when they see these spots in their life, I mean, do you really understand this? Do you understand that in the law, that literally their natural livelihood depended on their natural legalism to God? If bad stuff was happening, law got him again. That's awesome. Oh, no, that's really great. Because you know what? It has nothing to do with what's going on now. This is all coming down to how much you love God. I can't be your God for you. I can't be your prophet for you. I can't be your salvation. I can't be your preacher. Oh, you got to go there. Yes, I do. But sometimes you make me your preacher. Why? Because you treat me like a man. You, right there, look at me like I'm just a guy here that just, well, I don't know if he studied much, or I don't know if he's prayed much. I don't know about this, and I don't know. And you're trying to find a condition. Oh, he's failed over here, or I definitely think he did wrong over there. And you're not judging the gift. But all that's showing is that you don't have faith in God. Because if you identify a gift, that gift operates because it's a gift. Why? Because Balaam, look, Balak went to Balaam, and Balaam had a genuine gift. Balak did not depend upon what? Upon the condition of Balaam. He was literally going for the gift because he saw the gift. Don't you love when inspiration comes right knocking on your door? And then what? Balak went after him and said, curse him. Because he knew, because he was a prophet, the gift was there that he could curse Israel. But Balaam, he had a connection with God. No matter what he was. And the gift was a true gift. And because it was a true gift, he could only say what the Lord gave him. It didn't even depend on his heart, because remember what his heart was. His heart was backslid. His heart was far from God. His heart wanted to curse God's children. Didn't matter. I ain't saying that's me, church. But if you can see it at this level, maybe it will show you something. So what? So Balak says, curse him. And Balaam, what? God told him not to go. God put an angel with a sword there. A donkey that's, what? Putting the lay down, laying a smack on him. And he still, his heart was not right. He still went. He still tried to curse the people. But because of the gift, he could only operate for the benefit of God. The gift did not condemn Balaam. The heart condemned Balaam. He was what? He was dealing with perdition, not because of his gift wrong, but because he did not love and obey God. Don't you love God? Because here's the thing, church. This is a relationship that you have with God. God placed a gift here, and that gift is part of your relationship. I ain't kidding you. You think I wish you could go through my mind, because none of this stuff's been thought of. This is just coming. Because you have to understand what God is trying to get to you. God is trying to get you to a place that this becomes a date night. You know that. Some of you married people know that. That doesn't matter if you see your spouse every day. Every once in a while, you still got to have a date night. And that's usually to keep the wife happy. Well, I wonder what God wants when his wife never wants a date with him. Oh, hallelujah. But it comes right down to what? It comes down to you. God has given you a date tonight. Why do you need a date night? You know what they usually have date nights for? You don't need date nights when you don't have kids. And that's usually why the wives are always wanting it. Because why? Because their children, they need a break from the kids and they just need some time with the husband. They feel like they're getting out of touch. I've heard women say at times, they said because all's the only one I can talk to are a bunch of children. The children wear them out. Sometimes when the children of God wear you out, you know what you need? Just need a little date night. But don't look past this. Because this ain't a time when you annoy each other. This is a time where you see that you are one and you come and gather together in one with the one. What do you need the date night for? You don't understand how far I am off everything I was going to preach tonight. You don't understand. What is the date night for? So the wife can get that connection back with her husband. They call it quality time. You know, when that man can really speak to that woman, encourage her, tell her, I know you're always dealing with God's children. It's okay. But you see, this ain't date night. You know why? On date night, tell me more. Tell me you love me. She wants to hear him say that. Well, what do you want God to say to you tonight? I'm here, God. This is church. This is legalism. You're not here because of a service. You're here because you love God and you want to hear from Him. You want Him to tell you something. You want Him to give you a gift. You want God to what? To rejuvenate a relationship that you have with Him. And here God is. He gives you this opportunity. We just sit here ho-humming it. Oh, hallelujah. If I'm here, hallelujah. We should be the most excited people. Oh, I got my day and night with God. Should make you excited. See, some of the brothers ain't getting too excited, but that's all right. But what is it coming down to? God wants to be alive in every single area of your life. When you're driving to work, oh, yep, Lord, I love you, Lord. You get to work and everything's going wrong, oh, hallelujah, Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When your children are going nuts, oh, hallelujah. Come quickly, date night. But what? You know, it should be saying, come on, kids, let's go pray. Who else is going to teach those kids how to pray? Old mama, it's you. Right? These children need to be conditioned to love God. You don't show them some sort of law. This is what we have to do. You got to show them what? That this is real to you. Oh, son or daughter, this God is real. I love this God. If you quit being parents and start being a lover of God, that changed everything. Them children need to see you love God. They don't need to see you snapping and getting mad and fussing and stewing and just having some form of God and then living some legalistic life. They need to see a love affair. Hallelujah. How do you think David felt? When he seen a son, God told him there's going to be a son after him. He was chosen, and he'd love him. Remember, God gave him his special name, and it meant the same thing as David. Beloved. Oh, God loves you. Love. I love God. You don't get bored in the house of God. I ain't never seen any of them sisters get bored on date night. I ain't never seen it one time. You know what I see every time? They don't want to go home. Oh, what'd it be like if you wanted to like that? Oh, I got to stay in church just a little bit longer tonight. Oh, hallelujah! Don't you love inspiration? I'll tell you what, God starts coming down, talking to you. And, amen! But God loves you! God wants to see you in a rapture. And God is what? He is revealing this seventh seal to you. The thunders, they're crying out to you. The voice of God is saying, come, my beloved. Amen. The evening time has come. Brother Bram said about that black preacher who's 80-some years old. He said there wasn't enough room for him to preach. There ain't a mic that can keep up with me. Especially this one. I tear this mic up every time. Sorry, fell two or three times. You know what? Hallelujah. I don't care. I didn't even notice it. The only thing that got me noticing was her. I don't care about a mic. I'm yielding to God because I want God to speak. Hallelujah. Speak. God's trying to give you the revelation of how to make this rapture. You can't make it something deep because God is revealed in simplicity. You know when God will give you deeper things? When you show what? By exercise that you can discern good from bad. That's what Hebrews 5 says. I don't mean to say that, you know what? Brother Cam, you're just unskillful with the word. You're feeding me milk, brother. Well, if you got an ounce of Holy Ghost on you, you'd be able to see that your relationship with Christ ain't right. He'd be saying, boy, this is the deepest sermon I've heard yet. Because I need to love God a lot more than what I love him. You don't think this gift can go deeper? This gift goes deeper without even studying. Amen. I preached so many times and God has said stuff that I never even thought of. Amen. I remember for a while, and I'm still kicking myself now. And I had those sermons, and everything kept on coming out about theophany. Stuff that wasn't in the message, but it was right. It was in the message, But you had to have what? You had to have God bringing it out to you. And everything was coming by revelation. Everything was coming by inspiration. And I never wrote it down. And I can't remember it. And I'm not going to go back and listen to 18 sermons. But God, He can preach the deep. God can preach the simple. All He needs is a gift. God can heal if you only see He's healed. The Bible said that He is nigh unto you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. Oh, I love God. It says in Deuteronomy 30, 10, it says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. See that? He wanted their heart, but He was judging it by the law. Let's keep on going with this. Now notice. For this commandment, which I command thee this day. Now what is he talking about right there? Huh? What's he talking about? He's talking about what I just read. This commandment, which I command thee this day. What? That you obey all the commandments? You do all the statutes? Show me you love me. Do it. Show me you love me. I'll judge it by what you're doing for me. And if you don't obey me, I know you don't love me. So notice in the 11th verse, it says, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Okay? So notice he's saying this commandment, it's not hidden, and it's not far from you. 12th verse, it says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven? Okay? It's not hidden. It's not far off. It's not in heaven. You don't have to cry to someone way off somewhere else. This commandment, this revelation is easy. It's obvious. It's right before your eyes. And what was it? Look at this. Let's keep up this just a few more. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Why? It's the simple commandment that He gave them of law. You just do this book that I told you. It's that simple. It's not far from you. It's not over in a sea that someone has to come bring it to you. You just do my word, and you'll show me you love me. Hallelujah. Now notice this, the 14th verse is kind of where we're going here. It says, but the word is very nigh unto you. The word is right there. Amen. It's here. Amen. In thy mouth. In thy heart. Notice this, that thou mayest do it. What? The revealed word of the hour, the law, the statutes, they were there. They knew them. They were in their mouth. They were in their heart. He said, this word is nigh unto you. It's right to you. He said, do it. Well, what was it? It was the law form. The law form of the Word. The righteousness of God. That's what this is. The righteousness of God was there on scroll. It was there for them to see it. Do it. Do it. Live it. What are you depending on, church? Do you want to live it? That was a trick question. Do you want to live it? Do you want to be judged by the life you live? The Word is nigh to you. You have more Word than anyone ever has had before. It is deeper. It is greater. You look on a woman, you already committed adultery. You hate someone, you already killed them. Do we need to go further? Do you want to live the law? Can you depend on your ability to live this law? I love God. Okay? We got a fork in the road now, don't we? We can try to live this law, judge ourselves by this law. How do you know you're trying to live by the law when you're judging yourself by this law? When your confirmation or your condemnation depends on what you do, you're in the law. Well, how good were you today? How many sins didn't you commit today? Because that will show who's the greatest here. How many hours did you pray today? How many minutes did you pray today? Because that shows me how good of a Christian you are. No, you're just a Pharisee and a Sadducee then. Well, Brother Cam doesn't study 8 hours a day like Brother so-and-so. He doesn't talk the Word like so-and-so. He doesn't have it memorized like everybody else does. Yeah, he's probably not a very good pastor then. You don't know how many people in the message judge you and I by that. I hope there's nobody here that judges people by that. Especially poor little me. What are you looking at? Are you looking at what I do? Or what you do? What you do? Or are you looking at something else? Are you ready? See it? We're all failures. We couldn't live it without the Holy Ghost, and we can't live it with the Holy Ghost. The closest thing that we can get to living it is having the Holy Ghost and loving Him. I ain't talking about fifth place. I'm talking about first place. Because the love is a constrainer. Love is a force. It binds. It holds. It makes you do things that you don't want to do. You watch any mama with her baby. They will run to that baby so faster than daddy. It's not even close. Why is that? They have a natural bond to that child. Remember, your prophet said that Father is a revelation. You want to see a real love? You see the mother's love for a child. Let's just start right there. We can go all over this, and for time's sake, I'm not. But I want you to understand what this is coming down to. This comes down to how much you love God. But what about, is this the sign of the end, sirs? In 62, I got to memorize those visions, those dreams. I have to put all this together. I gotta put all these quotes about the thunders. I gotta get all this stuff figured out. I don't know. How am I gonna make the rapture if I don't know the thunders? And the thunders are in the Word. Well, what is it? Do the thunders restore your faith? Or did the Word revealing of Christ restore your faith? You're worried about seven angels when you're not paying any attention to the angel that stood on land and sea. The covenant angel. I ain't worried about what people are saying about no cloud, because I ain't finding a cloud. I'm finding Christ. I still believe that, because you know what? There's a face up in that thing, and I see it. And it's the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I believe that. Right. Ain't no rocket making the face of Jesus Christ that looks exactly like the Hoffman's head. That don't make sense. Right. I don't care if you produce a high-quality video. It ain't going to convince me. Where were we? Now in Romans 10:4, we're going to finish this off here. Notice what it says here. Oh, I just love this. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You get that? Christ ended the law for righteousness. No longer were you to be judged by a law. That ended. It's over. But it can only be over in one place. Christ. Now notice this. Romans 10:5. You see that? I just keep on slamming. I can't stop. It is the end of your righteousness by the law. It's over. Forget about your law today and just think about how much better you can love God. Can you be sincere tonight and say, God, and I understand there's a conviction, but not to lean only on that conviction, but to start out at the right spot and say, God, I haven't loved you right. Because you know how we do it? When you feel like you're far from God, you go to God and you say, God, I've done this. God, I've done that. I haven't been doing this. I haven't been praying much, God. I've been studying enough. I've been reading my Bible enough. Well, wait a minute. You're taking a law to God and saying that's your fault. But Christ ended the law. And the only law is the righteousness of God, which is the whole revealing of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Holy Ghost in you, Christ in you, righteousness. I know this is simple, very simple. But if you had this figured out, things would be different in my life and your life. I'm just preaching what God brought me to, okay? Now notice in the 5th verse, it says, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. This is the righteousness of the law. You do those things. That's Moses' law. There's no law under this. You believe that? Can you pry yourself a little bit away from everything that you do? Just pry it away just a little bit. It might actually start you down the hill. So notice this. In the sixth verse it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. So notice, righteousness. Where's the righteousness? In faith. Or what? The belief or the knowledge that God is God. So the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Wait a minute. Did you just hear that? I'm just catching this. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. So, if it's of faith, then whose faith is that? Because this faith speaks. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Wait, didn't we just get done reading this? Notice, parentheses. So Paul is bringing what? Not the law of Moses, but he's bringing the fulfillment of the law of faith by righteousness and showing you what it is now. So notice, it says, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. You see that? Who's going to go and bring Christ down? Oh, this is great. Now notice he says, or who shall descend into the deep? Notice parentheses. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. So which one of you are going to go up and get God for me? Or get God for yourself? Or go down into the deep and resurrect Christ again? And bring God up here? Which one of you are going to do that? Notice, 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Hallelujah. And in thy heart, that is. Wait a minute. Notice this. That is the word of faith which we preach. Oh, how great your memory. You remember in Deuteronomy 30? What was the end of that scripture? In Moses' law, the end of that scripture was that thou doest them. Doest what? That you may do the commandments. You getting that? Uh-oh. Am I losing you? Don't you see it, church? Here he uses the same passage. Except now, he says, remember, in Moses' day, the word is nigh thee. Has there ever been a God so nigh unto the people? Right there with the people. And now we see the fulfillment of this. Not that you have to go find God. You have to go look for God.
But he holds the same passage. You can't resurrect Christ. You can't bring him down. The Word is nigh thee. It's right here. What do you want? What do you need? Is God not here? But notice the change by dispensation. It leaves the law, the commandments, and now it is the word of faith.
So notice, it's your mouth and your heart. The word is nigh thee. God is here to take that law away and to become your law. And he's nigh thee, your heart and your mouth. And this only operates by faith. Well, that's the whole problem. Do you believe you're saved? All of us can go, but prove it.
Amen.
I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing it for myself. I want to be at such a place with God that this whole thing, it's just God. God does this. God does that. God does this, spoken word. God preaches to the lost. God does this pull. God does this pull. And it all comes down to this. The word of faith being your righteousness. Christ, your righteousness. Now finishing off. He says, ninth verse. Of course, he said at the end of the eighth verse, which we preach. So it's coming. The word is nigh thee. From the word being preached. I might be the only one getting that and everybody else is yawning. That's okay. I guarantee I'm more tired than all y'all. Yeah. I'm just anointed right now. Wait till I come down from this mountain. I'm going straight to McDonald's and get me a big fat Coke. Because they got the best Coke. Especially on Wednesday night. But notice, in finishing off, he says in the ninth verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Confession, mouth. The word is nigh thee. In thy mouth. Confessing who he is. What is he? Is he God? Treat him like God. Believe him like he's God. Act like he's God. Talk like he's God. Notice. He says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Well, that's what we don't understand. All the supernatural, all the power of God lays in your salvation. If you believe who you are, believe in what you are, it'll produce. It's going to. It will. It ain't going to depend on how deep I go. I'm only going to go as deep as God wants me to go. God don't give it to me, I ain't going there. This simple? Really? Finishing off, he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, you look at this and you say, well, this is just salvation. This is just simple. You realize how deep this is? Notice what he said there. For with the heart, Man believeth unto righteousness. So the man believes unto righteousness. Where's your righteousness? You say you believe and you're still trying to make works your righteousness. You don't believe. We have Pharisee and Sadducee tendencies. You know what? You need to scoot them out now. Go right back to square one and say, God, I want to serve you and I want to serve you with love. Forgive me because I haven't loved you right. I want to love you right. This is a heart matter, and I want to believe in my heart that I have took on the righteousness of God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession? How many of us are running around saying, I'm saved? I'm saved. Finishing off. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We should be the most known about, despised group of believers in Northwest Ohio. I ain't comparing. I'm saying this should be your motive. I don't care if there's message churches everywhere. I want this. By my production, by your production, by your belief in righteousness, that you are the righteousness of God. Amen. That you are saved. That God has done a great work in your life. Amen. Let that be proved by you not being ashamed. Amen. We say we're saved and we're afraid to talk about God. Okay, let's finish off. Now notice this. When their eyes were opened, 56. E37, it says, now tonight, if you only shut off your theology for a few minutes, I want you to be very pay close attention to this. You see what that said? He's talking to people, he said, if you'll shut off your eyes from your theology. Now notice, shut off your worries and take Christ into your heart. Wait a minute. We say, oh, he's making a sinner's approach. No. He's talking to Christians who are caught up in theology and Christians who are caught up in their worries. And I'm sure he's caught up in people who aren't that, but this is ain't a lot of sinners that know a lot about the Bible. Now notice this. Take Christ into your heart. Close off the world all around you and just let him come in. He will do something here tonight just like he used to do when he was here on earth before the resurrection. And you'll see that he is the risen Christ. Quickly, he vanished out of their sight. And they ran back light-footed, light-hearted, saying, that indeed the Lord has risen from the dead. We know it. We've seen him do something just the same way he did it before his crucifixion. And to us, he is risen from the dead and alive forevermore. That same Lord Jesus Christ, I declare by his word, is here tonight. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Lord is nigh thee. He's right here. If you just want to get your mind off your worries and theology, just get Christ back in your heart where he belongs. If you'll only let him get into your heart, he will do the very same things he did when he was here on earth. Or I'm a false witness of the Bible and the resurrection. Challenge of that, how could you turn it down? Let's stand. I already made my altar call. Is God real? Is God nigh you? Or is this book a lie? If this book is real, let's shake off the little tired demons for a second here. Date night's not over. Isn't that amazing? This is the only scenario where your husband doesn't want to leave before you. And God's still here. He's saying, I'm nigh thee. I'll do the same things if you just believe. If you just get me in your heart. If you lay down your theology. You lay down your worries. The word's here right now. It's nigh thee. Confess. Confess what? Didn't you hear what I preached about for the last hour and 10 minutes? Do you want this to be real or not? You know what? I don't make it count all the time outside of church. Not half as much as I'd like to make it count. But I'm right here. I've got all these people here professing the Holy Ghost, and I profess it too. So why don't I just lay down my theology, my worries, allow some of that energy that's sitting here potentially. I love how your prophet talked about it. He talked about the woman with the alabaster box, which was Mary Magdalene. He said, with all that unbelief there, he said she was still able to give vent to her pulsation of faith. There's a pulsation. There's pressure. There's energy just sitting there. And all she had to do was give vent to it. And all she seen was the Word. And the Word put her in action. The same words here tonight. We just read that quote. He just said that he'll do the same things he did when he was here on earth if you just get him in your heart right. Don't worry about making all those evil things you've done wrong right. Let that come after you get it right with what's really the issue. The issue is you need Christ back where he needs to be. God, forgive me for my sins, God. But the gist of this all is I just don't love you right. Can we be honest? At least a couple of us, right? We have to give vent to a pulsation. God, I need to move away from this law. I'm tired of judging myself by all this, God. I just want to be so involved with loving you, God. That God, if I knew I loved you right, God, this would all come to pass. No problem. You believe that? How many say I want the end of the law to strike me tonight? I want Christ to come inside of me, Lord. And God, come inside of me, and I want to love you, God. I want to treat you right, God. I want to love you right, God. And Lord, I want every ounce of my being to be based upon this love that you want me to have, God. And Lord, I want to have it too. And the reason why I want to have it, God, is because something inside of me says that I'm part of you, God. Something inside of me says, I'm your child, God. And Lord, I want to be that child, Lord. Would you hear my request, God? Is that your desire? Amen. Would you just pray to him now as I pray to him as well? Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Oh, I love your word, God. I love who you are, Lord. And God, I fail you time and time again. I fall short time and time again, Lord. But God, this isn't about me falling short. Lord, you prophesied in your Bible so many times that we would fall short in this manner, in that manner, in every manner, God, with or without the Holy Ghost, God. But Lord, what you told us is that you would be in us, God, and that you would be our righteousness. And because you are in us, God, we would be your righteousness, God. Oh God, forgive us for not loving you, God. Oh God, you said, oh God, if we confess with our mouth, believed in our heart, God, that Lord, you would save us, God. And Lord, we want a salvation, God, that we know we're righteous. That we know, oh God, we love you, God. And we know, God, that God, we can't merit this, God. God, you've seen the people's hands, the saints' hands, God. May the end of the law strike their life tonight, Lord. May the end of their righteousness
come tonight, Lord. And Lord, may we just accept the righteousness of God in our lives. God, forgive me of all, God, that I've fallen short of, Lord. Especially the very fact, God, that I don't treat you like my husband, God. Forgive me, God. God, I confess with my mouth, God, that I want your righteousness, God. I confess with my heart, God, that I believe that you are the resurrected God. I believe that you can resurrect inside of me, God, that I can be a new creature, Lord. God, I'm not looking at what I've already received, God. I need something fresh, God. I need some real love, God. I don't want to depend on an individual flesh for love, God. I want to depend on you, God. Change the lives in this building, Lord. Change our hearts, God. This is your promise, God. I'm not giving up on this church, God. I'm not giving up on what you've called us for, Lord. You've called us to a real relationship with you that's bringing this church to a rapture, God. I stand by that right now in faith, God. Believing, God, that this is reality, God, and you're real. I love you, Lord Jesus. And I pray you touch every need in the hearts of these children tonight, Lord. In the heart of this child, Lord. Touch all our needs, God. Give us, oh God, a free relationship with you, God. Free of guilt, free of condemnation. But God, a life that's solely driven on love. God, work it, Lord. We have need of thee. I just pray, oh God, you'd fulfill it now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride says in faith, amen. If you have need of God, get him. If you have need of prayer and you need help to pray, we'll pray together. If you want your law to end and you keep on going back to it, you keep on becoming driven by it, lay down that law tonight. Just lay it down. Say, God, this was never meant to be a law. It was meant to be a person. I want the person, God. Give me the person. Let's sing that song. I need more of you. It's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. Oh, Lord, I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Oh, all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now from the start to the finish. And I need more of you. I've got to have more of you. Lord, I need more of you in me. Oh, and I need more of you.
I gotta have more of you.
till there's no room left for me. And all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. I gotta have more of you. I gotta have more of you, Lord, in me. I need more. That's just the way it's gonna be. Oh, I need more of you. Still there's no room left for me. And all those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now. From the start to the finish, I need more of you. I gotta have more of you. I gotta have more of you in me. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'll bring you more than a song. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless word, could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, Lord, all I have is yours. Every single breath, 'cause I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Lord. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Lord, have your way in me, Lord. by your mercy we are saved. Lord, you have said, if we call upon,
yes, Lord, hallelujah, yes, Lord,
say. Oh, Lord, most high. must cry. When I think about the Lord and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how You healed me unto the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, me around, placed my faith on side.
Amazing.
great. For the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. Oh, he will my strength and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. Oh, and he will me here below shall reign forevermore. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my God.
song, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." That'd be your desire. Sing it to your Lord. Amen. Create in